And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The Archbishop of Canterbury has warned that forcing church services to stop during lockdown is a huge loss for worshippers. The Most Reverend Justice Welby is seeking a meeting with ministers to complain about the rules. He wants to challenge the government about why churches have to shut their congregations while other gatherings are treated as essential and will be exempt. Among the meetings that can continue after the shutdown begins on Thursday are those for recovering drug and alcohol addicts and support groups for gay and transgender people. The move to confront ministers is the first hint of rebellion against lockdown from the Archbishop, who assented in March to the full closure of all churches and even forbade vicars from praying alone in their own churches. In a letter to Church of England clergy written with the Archbishop of York, the Most Reverend Stephen Cottrell, Archbishop Welby said he may have been overcautious during the spring lockdown. Critics who say he should not have agreed to close the churches may be right, they said. The Archbishop said churches will this time stay open for individuals to pray and will hold services that are broadcast online. The complaint to ministers follows furious protests at the weekend by leaders of Roman Catholics in England and Wales who demanded to be shown evidence to justify church closures. Muslim leaders also criticised lockdown, calling for a reassessment of the decision to shut places of worship. The Archbishop said in their letter that stopping sacramental services such as the central Anglican Rite of Communion is a huge loss. They continued, "And since we were not consulted about the lockdown provisions, we fully intend to speak with the government about why certain exemptions are made and not others, emphasising the critical role that churches play in every community." The Archbishop wrote, "We are sure that some of you reading this letter will wish we hadn't made other decisions during the period of the first lockdown, or even challenged the government harder on the decisions it has made. You may be right, but in this second lockdown, we want to encourage church buildings to remain open for private prayer wherever possible." A letter written aboard the Titanic by a pastor who went down with the ship is going up for auction this month. John Harper, a widowed Baptist minister from Scotland, was travelling from London to Chicago on April the 14th, 1912, when the doomed liner struck an iceberg and sank. Harper's sister and daughter were put on lifeboats, but he volunteered to stay aboard and gave his life jacket away to another passenger. The 39-year-old clergyman preached the gospel as the Titanic sank and continued to testify in the freezing water until he drowned, according to contemporary accounts. The handwritten letter thanks another preacher for his help before Harper's departure and goes up for bid on November the 14th. It has a pre-sale estimate of between $38,850 and $64,750. John Harper was pastor of Walworth Road Baptist Church in London and was travelling with his family to preach at Moody Church in Chicago. Written on Titanic stationery, his letter was dated April the 11th, 1912, 3 days before the ship sank, and was mailed from Queenstown, Ireland. It is addressed to Brother Young, pastor of Paisley Road Baptist Church in Glasgow, and thanks him for his help prior to Harper's departure. "My dear Brother Young, I am penning you this line just before we get to Queenstown to assure you that I have not forgotten you, and especially all your kindness while we were north," it reads. "I intended setting on Mrs. Platt's train fares just before I left it, but in the rush, which was exceptional, having had 11 or 12 services for the weekend, I was unable to get it done. I will send it on from Chicago. We had a great season of blessing during the last few days in Walworth. I don't know how I am to thank dear Auntie Mary and yourself for all your kindness. The Lord will repay you for it all. Trust things are going well at Paisley Road. The Warriors are with me here and are doing well so far on the journey. Very kindest love, your loving old Pastor John Harper." At a gathering of survivors 4 years after the disaster, a man claimed he was rescued by a lifeboat after being saved by Harper in the middle of the icy Atlantic. "I am the last convert of John Harper," the unnamed witness declared. Harper's handwritten note is being sold by a private collector through Henry Aldridge & Son Limited Auction House, along with other Titanic memorabilia. A letter recovered from the body of a Titanic victim sold at auction for $166,000 in 2017. Last week, Titanic enthusiasts got a chance to own a piece of the fateful ship itself. A limited edition Romain Jerome men's watch made from metal from the Titanic was put up for auction on October the 26th. Made in 2012, a century after the Titanic sank, the watch was composed of steel retrieved from the ship's hull in 1991, fused with metal from Harland & Wolff shipyards where the ship was built. Laura Bishop of Fellows Auctioneers called it one of the most interesting timepieces we've ever had to go under the hammer. The Titanic disaster was a poignant moment in history, and events are known around the world. The release of these watches on the 100th anniversary was the perfect homage to the tragedy on the 15th of April 1912. Fellows Auctioneers hasn't announced what the watch sold for, but it listed a pre-sale estimate of between $4,600 and $7,200. The Titanic sank on its maiden voyage from Southampton to New York, taking the lives of more than 1,500 people. The Vatican has sent a letter to papal representatives around the world seeking to clarify Pope Francis's comments in support of same-sex civil unions, suggesting they were taken out of context by a documentary filmmaker. Two comments by Pope Francis in the film Francesco by Russian-born director Yevgeny Afanasyevsky were edited and published as a single answer without the proper contextualization, which has led to confusion, according to a letter sent around the world by the Vatican Secretariat of State. The clarification letter, dated October the 30th, was published on Facebook by the Vatican Nuncio to Mexico, Archbishop Franco Coppola, and its authenticity later confirmed by CNN. In the letter, the Vatican maintained the Pope's comments about needing a civil union law referred to his opposition to a same-sex marriage law in Argentina when he was Archbishop of Buenos Aires. Pope Francis said, "It is incongruous to talk about gay marriage," adding that, in the same context, he discussed gay couples' rights to legal coverage. "What we need is a law of civil coexistence. They have the right to be legally covered. I defended that," says the letter. The clarification letter goes on to explain a pastoral reference the Pope made in line with previous guidance about the importance of families never discriminating against a homosexual son or daughter. They refer to the words, "Gay people have the right to be in family. They are the children of God. They are entitled to a family. You can't kick anyone out of a family or make life impossible for that reason," explained the letter. While the film edited and interpreted the Pope's words to suggest he supported the right for same-sex couples to form families, the letter states his actual intent was to suggest homosexuals should never suffer violence or discrimination within the family. The film held its premiere in Rome on October the 21st. The director claimed to have personally interviewed the Pope, but it was later discovered the footage included in the film was never used outtakes from a Mexico Televisio interview conducted in 2019. France warned its citizens to take extra security precautions in a string of Muslim-majority countries on Tuesday amid ongoing anger over President Emmanuel Macron's staunch defense of the right to publish cartoons depicting the Prophet Muhammad. The Foreign Ministry issued safety advice to French citizens in Indonesia, Bangladesh, Iraq and Mauritania, advising them to exercise caution. They should stay away from any protests over the cartoons and avoid any public gatherings. It is recommended to exercise the greatest vigilance, especially while travelling and in places that are frequented by tourists or expatriate communities, it said. The French Embassy in Turkey issued similar advice to its citizens there. The warnings came as France's interior minister told Turkey to refrain from meddling in domestic affairs, hours after it joined calls for a boycott of French goods, citing Mr. Macron's anti-Islam agenda. "It should shock each one of us that foreign powers are meddling with what is going on in France," Gerard Darmanin told France Interradio, adding that he's referring to Turkey and Pakistan, where Parliament passed a resolution urging the government to recall its envoy from Paris. "Turkey should not meddle with France's domestic affairs," he added. Far from toning down its rhetoric, however, Turkey branded Mr. Macron a desperate European politician vying for relevance in the latest jibe in a war of words between the two countries. His flailing attempt to assume leadership in Europe is driving his promotion of Islamophobia, xenophobia, and his attacks on our President Erdogan, said Fahrettin Altan, the Turkish leader's communications chief. He reiterated Mr. Erdogan's own remarks about France and fascism, claiming that Macron is following the old fascist playbook that targeted Jews in Europe in this manner. The Turkish president called a furore at the weekend by backing a French boycott and declaring that Mr. Macron needed mental checks, prompting a string of European leaders to slam the defamatory remarks. French goods have already been pulled from supermarket shelves in Qatar and Kuwait, among other Gulf states, whereas in Syria people have burned pictures of Mr. Macron and French flags have been torched in the Libyan capital Tripoli. While those protests were small, last Tuesday tens of thousands of protesters marched through the Bangladesh capital Dhaka in the biggest public show of anger in a Muslim country since the murder of a French teacher who showed a class cartoons of Muhammad during a lesson on freedom of expression. The gruesome beheading of Samuel Paty by an 18-year-old Chechen extremist appalled staunchly secular France and prompted Mr. Macron to vow that the country will not give up cartoons. Mr. Macron, who met representatives of France's Muslim community on Monday, pledged to fight Islamist separatism and said the schoolteacher was killed because Islamists want our future. Several suspected Islamist radicals have been arrested in dozens of raids since Mr. Paty's murder, and about 50 organizations with alleged links to such individuals have been earmarked for closure by the government. Last week, a French court upheld the 6 months foreclosure of a mosque in Pantin outside France for relaying social media anger against the slain teacher. As the backlash in the Muslim world continued, Iran summoned a French diplomat on Tuesday to complain that Mr. Macron's comments were unwise and that France was using free expression as a pretext for stirring up hatred against Islam. Chechia's strongman leader Ramzan Kadyrov accused Mr. Macron of provoking Muslims and compared the French leader to a terrorist. Via the Telegram messaging app, the head of Russia's Muslim-majority southern region condemned said the president of France is himself beginning to look like a terrorist. By supporting provocations, he covertly calls on Muslims to commit crimes. But in a sign that some countries want to limit the fallout, Saudi Arabia condemned the cartoons but refrained from calling for a boycott of French products or other actions. Debate continues to rage in France, where Mohamed Moussassi, the head of the French Council for the Muslim Faith on Tuesday, said he was personally against showing cartoons of Mohammed in schools. Between the freedom of expression and the deliberate desire to offend Muslim feelings, there is a duty of fraternity and responsibility, he told France Info. Mr. Moussassi reminded worshippers that such caricatures were allowed under French law. This same law doesn't force anyone to like them, nor does it forbid anyone from hating them, he said. He urged Muslims to follow the example of the Prophet Muhammad, who, according to Islamic tradition, simply ignored insults from a crowd who called him ugly. Isn't it more in line with the Prophet's example to ignore these caricatures and consider them as having no relation whatsoever with our Prophet, he said. Since its founding in 1804, the Bible Society has been involved in prisons. Founder William Wilberforce campaigned for prison reform, and the Society provides Bibles to thousands of prisoners in their first language. At the beginning of 2020, there were 83,533 prisoners in England and Wales. The recent Prisons Week had the theme, You Are Not Alone. A Bible Society spokesman said that each day of Prisons Week focused on a different group of people. In 2019, the Society gave out more than 2,500 Bibles to prisoners in 51 institutions, including young offenders institutions and secure training colleges. One in eight Bibles were in English, and other languages included Polish, Romanian, and Hungarian. And finally, after a very, very long sermon, the parishioners filed out of the church saying nothing to Pastor Jamie. Towards the end of the line was a thoughtful person who always commented on the sermons. Pastor, today your sermon reminded me of the peace and love of God. Pastor Jamie was thrilled. Nobody has ever said anything like that about my preaching before. Tell me why. Because it endured forever.
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.